Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports on our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's alive. It's Mike Artabasio. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, man. Am I alive?
I can see you. Okay. I can hear you breathing. You've made some really poignant comments about some of the things we're going to talk about today on the show. I'm picking up your coughs on the microphone.
I'm sorry.
I think you're okay. Yes, I think you're here.
I'm sorry.
Listen, you have nothing to be sorry for, bro. You bounced back up off the mat impressively.
Here we are. Yes, down a net of 20 pounds from 7 days ago. Basically, I think that recording this podcast last week was basically the last thing I did before it all started falling apart.
Yep.
And then I was in denial about how bad it was for 2 days. And then I think I finally texted you on Friday and I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's not coronavirus. So we know that you're safe on that for now.
But the coronavirus, which is basically just a bad version of the flu, I had a bad version of the flu, it might have helped because I might have gotten a little more attention medically. You know what I mean? I don't know. I know that I went to see a doctor on Saturday with a fever of close to 104 after my wife said I had been basically hallucinating that I was dead and at my own funeral for over an hour. And she was like, you know, we're just going to go get this checked
out. Nothing beats a good fever dream, man. Nothing beats a good fever dream. It snaps you back into and out of reality every time.
Anyway, very happy to be here with you. Very happy to be in the downtown offices of the Long Beach Post where we record our weekly Long Beach sports show. Huge championship week, scholarship week. All the stuff we love about high school sports going on this week, and we got to get to all that right now.
Yeah, tip of the cap to you, my friend, for getting that column in. It's going to be up right now at Long Beach Post talking about those events, those games. Make sure you also check out the show, our weekly 5-minute video recap of the top Long Beach sports stories, all that stuff we do here at Long Beach Post, and we also cover all the Long Beach sports at the562.org. Make sure you visit both of those websites, hit the subscribe button, and help support local news and sports coverage.
The only good thing about getting sick to me is that reset that JJ talked about. You get to feel how good the sun feels. You get to appreciate the way your wife looks when you're able to make eye contact with her because you're not throwing up. And
it's the little things.
You get to appreciate all the food that you love anew. And so for me, whenever I get sick, one of the things I think about is, I can't wait to go to Wingstop. I can't wait to go get whatever. But this time, all I could think about was Naples Rib Company. Mm. I can't wait to go down 2nd Street, tell Dave Rossini hi, and get some of my favorite barbecue anywhere in the world, my favorite barbecue spot in the city by far, Naples Rib Company. If you're not sick, go down there today. Don't take your health for granted. Go down to Naples Rib Company and enjoy some great food.
Let's jump right into this thing. Our O the Week segment coming at you. Questions, athletes, games, players, quotes, and a list. We start with our question of the week, which we got a lot on Monday. What'd you do for the Super Bowl? Mike, I think you were just sitting in the corner with one of those medical masks on.
What did I do for the what?
For the Super Bowl? Are you just blocking it out of your memory completely?
What's a superb owl, you said?
Mike, dedicated Niners fan. Dedicated so much that he looked like he was walking into or out of the infirmary while watching the game. I got a picture of him and his son watching the game. Vinny in the foreground, Mike in the background in a different room with a mask on.
He started crying when I told him that I had to stay in the back until I got healthy.
That broke my heart.
He literally started crying. He was just like, we can't watch the game together? And I was like, I guess. And then that's probably why I got Maya sick, so I didn't feel great about it. But it was the worst. It was the worst. It was horrible.
At what point during the game with the Niners leading, did you think
the first thing that went wrong?
We're in trouble.
The first thing that went wrong,
which was
when they scored,
when the Chiefs scored in the second half.
So we're up 20-10 with 7 minutes left. Yep. As soon as they scored, I was like, we're gonna lose a game because we're gonna. And you know me, like
you only needed one stop though.
But you know me, like I have a little bit of a coach's brain in that in life, all I'm always thinking about is like protecting against like what's gonna go wrong.
Right.
Like what are the risks? What's gonna go wrong? And like we're up 10. He throws an interception, and so actually, no, we're up 20-10. Mahomes throws an interception. At that point, in my head, I go, we got to go get 2 first downs or we're going to lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 3 and out,
yep.
Punt the ball. And as soon as we punted the ball there, we're still up 10. I was like, we're going to lose the game.
How do you
and it
feel
went
about,
exactly the way that I thought it was going to go from that point on.
How do you feel about Kyle Shanahan today?
I love Kyle Shanahan. I'm so happy he's our coach. The people who are being overly critical of him, in my opinion, are very silly. The dude is younger than we are and has taken two franchises that had struggled to the Super Bowl and had gotten big leads.
Have you seen the numbers, the breakdown of his offensive play calling in the fourth quarter of the three Super Bowls he's been involved in?
Yes.
It's not good.
I agree with you, but he was also up 28-3 on Tom Brady, and he was up 20-10 on Pat Mahomes. In my opinion,
I'd rather win than be ahead for three quarters.
I would rather win than be ahead for three quarters, but I'd rather be in the Super Bowl with a lead in the fourth quarter than where we were prior to Kyle Shanahan getting there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, so to me, he's a dude where, like, I trust that. I mean, like, look at Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid was a laughingstock for years about how horrible his clock management was.
Yes.
And it was a skill that he improved at, and he's a Super Bowl champ. I don't think it's going to take Kyle Shanahan 30 years.
You don't think that Kyle Shanahan, in a way, out-Andy-Reided Andy Reid?
No.
In that Andy Reid finally ran up into somebody who made the same clock management mistakes or miscues that he used to make?
No. And I actually think that Kyle Shanahan showed that he learned something from last year. I just think that the problem was that he had a quarterback, and I like Jimmy G, but I think that he had a chance to win the game and he didn't do it. You know, like he should have seen that there was a defensive lineman where he was trying to throw it to on second and five.
Mm-hmm.
But like, people criticize him for, oh, they get 5 yards on the run and then he throws it twice. But like, the second and five is if you don't trust that you can make that play, that's playing to lose.
But if we've learned anything over the last few Super Bowls, it's that scared money don't make money.
Right.
If you're out there trying to go get it, then you're in trouble. But at the end of the first half, that looked like scared money to me. When you've got your GM asking you to call a timeout in the booth.
I totally agreed with that decision.
And then you're running the clock, and then you – listen, even if you ran the ball three times when you got the ball back, calling a timeout to tell your team, to tell the stadium, to tell the world, we're in it to win it. We're going to try to go get points every single time we have the ball or have a chance to have the ball, that's a message sent.
If they didn't call an offensive –
He sent a negative message, I feel. He sent a negative message to the team that, like, listen – we're just going to try to hold on to this thing. Like, we're not even up 2010 yet.
No,
we're just going to try to hold on
I just totally disagree with that. Like, if they had not called an offensive pass interference on George Kittle, his hit, they would have been up 13-10, which seems to be what he was playing for, which I think would have been a fine position to be in.
But that throw came after two runs not calling a timeout. So that throw came a minute and a half approximately.
Yeah.
90 seconds
it came
after.
Late enough to guarantee that an offense that has made their entire living this postseason scoring two touchdowns in 40 seconds wouldn't get that. Like, the scenario that I'm seeing is he's correctly thinking that what's the biggest imbalance in the game? We have a good defense. They have a good offense. We have a good offense. They don't have that good of a defense. And their offense is infinitely more explosive than our offense.
But how many times have you and I been on the sideline and seen a coach make a decision where we looked at each other and we went, oh, they're scared. They're not going to win this game.
And I disagree with that classification of this. I thought it was the smart move given what their offense had done to everyone else so far in the playoffs.
I'll give you this. If I were to pick a team to go forward with now, I'd pick the Niners. I feel like the Niners are in better position to return to the Super Bowl more often than not in the next 3 or 4 years. Like, I still think the Chiefs are very good, you know, bet on them before the season, all that stuff. But like, if I had to pick a franchise to get behind, it's the young coach, young quarterback, phenomenal defense, plug and pop a veteran running back in every year.
Right.
And just play the game that you have played this year. Because honestly, if you're looking at the results, the Niners were the best team for the year.
I thought they were like an all-time great team. You know what I mean? Like, if they'd won that Super Bowl, I think they'd be talked about as one of the best teams that the league had seen.
Well, really, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Complete. It would definitely be the biggest turnaround in the NFL that we've seen.
But let me say, I would pick the Chiefs just because I think they're going to have – I think they have the best quarterback of the generation, which I just don't think you can trade. But in every other position, as a Niners fan, the season was so much better than I expected it to be. It was great, and I'm very excited about the future. But they need Jimmy G to be able to handle being blitzed. And they need, like, I'm not one of the haters. The dude threw for 4,000 yards on 70% completion this year. He's a good quarterback. But when you're in the Super Bowl and they're blitzing you, you need to be able to not just throw it at a jumping defensive lineman.
Fair enough. I'm not going to make you relive that game anymore. At least until next year.
Yeah.
We move on to the Athletes of the Week, obviously brought to you by Naples Rib Company. As always, thank you to them for their sponsorship. We're going to start on the hard court, boys basketball at Compton. Jabari Stewart helped Compton pick up a huge upset over Long Beach Poly last Monday, knocking the Jackrabbits out of first place in the Moore League, giving them their first league loss. And Compton Stewart had 15 points and 15 rebounds. That's a double-double animal style.
Poly lost twice in league last week, and everyone who beat Poly gets an Athlete of the Week. Bernard Johnson dropped 35 on the Jackrabbits to lead Lakewood to their first win over Poly in a little while. Then
basketball is just one of those sports where if you have one guy who's ready to take it over, you can.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Not as much in soccer, not as much in football. You need your teammates and stuff like that as well in basketball. But I always feel like you're right. When there's an upset, it's always one kid on the other team who just goes crazy.
Absolutely. And the person who went crazy for the Wilson girls basketball team was Sydney Ross, who helped lead Wilson to its first win over Milliken in 8 years.
Upsets galore last week.
Yeah, crazy week. Not the week you would have picked to get sick if you were the basketball writer for the 5-6-2. Sydney had 9 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 steals, stuffing the stat box for that win. And then speaking of stuffing the stat box, Anaya Cutler for Long Beach Poly, the Washington State signee, scored a hat trick against Wilson to give Poly a 3-2 win over the Bruins.
It wasn't just a hat trick, Mike. She scored her third goal in the last minute of that game to complete a 2-goal comeback. Poly took the lead. Wilson tied it up. Wilson took the lead. And then Anaya Cutler scores twice in the second half in the span of 20 minutes. And the last one, just a classic run in front of the goal mouth. Just try to make something happen, and something happened. She was in the right place at the right time all night, and I think it's one of the coolest individual accomplishments we've ever seen that Anaya Cutler scored all 5 of Poly goals in the games against Wilson in league this year. They lost 3-2 at home. Anaya scored those 2 goals, and then they won 3-2 on the road, and Anaya scored all 3 of those goals. She's got so much swag. She is just dripping in Poly swagoo, and I'm going to be writing an article about her and that before the playoffs start next week. Speaking of girls soccer, we do have to shout out Milliken girls soccer repeating as league champions because Poly upset Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson was on the fast
Milliken
track.
Milliken in the weird position of rooting for a team they frankly have not gotten along with very well in Poly. And it paid off for them because they're back-to-back champs for the first time since JJ and I were 1/2 years old in 1985-86. Just the second back-to-back ever. And because in 85-86 they shared one of those, it's the first time ever they've been back-to-back without sharing the championship, which is crazy.
Wilson would have taken a shared championship tied 2-2 with Poly on that night, but that last goal from Cutler actually shifted the entire thing. Milliken was in the midst of their game against Lakewood at Veterans Memorial Stadium while Cutler scored, and it was our Twitter update that set off the celebration in the stands and on the sideline at Vets when Milliken realized, holy crap, we're going to win this thing again.
Yeah, for sure. Pretty crazy. I love stories like that. Other league championships that have been decided so far, the Poly girls basketball team clinched a 14th consecutive league title. The Milliken boys wrestling team won yet another title. Who was the three-way championship on the girls wrestling side?
Wilson upset Milliken in December in girls wrestling. Girls wrestling at Milliken had never lost a league match, so that was huge. They had never lost a league title. So then Wilson needed to win out to win it, but then Poly upset Wilson. So it's Milliken, Wilson, Poly, three-way championship. The first time since girls wrestling had been added to the Moore League.
Crazy.
That Milliken's not the outright title holder.
That's pretty exciting. We've still got boys soccer and boys basketball to come, so we're very much looking forward to those.
Also, shout out St. Anthony girls soccer winning their second straight Camino Real League title. They got a win on Monday for senior night at Clark Field. They got another game later, but they've already clinched the whole thing, so they're going to have some good momentum going into the playoffs. That's a fun team. That's a team full of goofballs. They have a really good time playing soccer. That's a fun group, so congratulations to the Saints. Back-to-back titles. It ain't easy, especially the second one.
Well, talking about these league championships is a good way to transition into our game of the week, the Long Beach Poly boys basketball team traveling to Milliken. The Rams have clinched a share of their first Moore League championship since 1991. Poly could lose for the first time in 13 years if they don't beat Milliken. If they beat Milliken, it'll be a co-championship. They beat Milliken by 7 points in a very tight game at Poly earlier this season. Milliken then has not lost to anyone else, whereas Poly's lost to Compton and Lakewood. Lost 3 in a row going into the game against Wilson last night. They were able to get a win and snap that, but It's interesting. Solomon Jones has been sidelined. So for Polly, it's basically Peyton Watson is going to have to go in there and carry the whole load for the Jackrabbits in a Milliken environment where there's going to be a great student section, and you know Rob Diaz is going to score 30 points in that game.
I was just going to say, if this were Vegas and I were working at Caesars and I needed to put a line and some props on this thing, right, I would give Polly a slight edge. Even though they're on the road, I would give them a slight edge on the point spread. I would take Milliken.
They were pretty bad against Lakewood, though, JJ. I think they only had 19 points at halftime against Lakewood.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, they were without Jones, right? They were without Solomon. So
they're going to be without him on third. They're going to be without him against Milliken, too.
Don't you get the feeling that good teams always play better the longer they're without their star player? Like, look at the Lakers and losing AD. They looked pretty bad for the first two games after they lost him in that Knicks game. And then all of a sudden, they looked really good and rattled off seven straight wins.
We'll see. They're going to need people to step up to help out Peyton Watson. Because if my point plan is for him to score 40, they're going to be in trouble.
If I had to do player props as well, I would take the over on, like, let's say 30-plus points for both Diaz and Watson. Absolutely. I think we're in for a show between the two most talented basketball players in the city of Long Beach on Thursday night. And you got to get to the 562.org because that's where you're going to see the highlight video.
So that's our game of the week. You definitely got to check that out. We already talked about our athletes of the week. Our players of the week, the ones to keep an eye on, are those who are signing scholarships. Yay!
Robble, robble, dude. One of our favorite events every year. One of our favorite days where we just sit back and realize all the hard work. You know, it's a cliche, but the blood, sweat, and tears that these kids put into athletics and extracurricular activities to then have somebody say, come do that for us, and I'm going to pay you to do it, too. That's special, man. I don't care about championships. I don't care about rings. I care about scholars and people improving their lives, and that's all happening today. You know what I mean? It's such a peak, an apex mountain for these athletes when they look at their parents and they say, I got this.
No, it's the best. We love it. Poly does a big one in February every year. Most of the schools in Long Beach do them in May when everyone's kind of had a chance. I kind of like the May thing better just because – you know, especially, let's say, like, track and field, baseball, sports where the scholarships are partial and there's a lot of moving pieces, they're usually not settled right now. I like to do it in May. Everyone knows what they're doing.
When we first started working today, the middle of February, or the beginning of February, in the middle of the week, was the only time we did signing day stuff when we first started working together.
Yes.
Because it was football day, and then everybody else just got folded into football day.
Right.
Then when they moved football to two separate days, one in the fall and then one here in February, everybody kind of got their own timeline. Right. So now I do agree that the stuff that they do in May is a lot better because you do get everybody. And honestly, it's not as cut and dry as it used to be. Like, a lot of people who don't sign today will end up signing.
Yeah.
It will just take time for those other football programs or whatever program to say, we didn't get the guy we want, now we'll offer you as well. There's just more kids sign.
There's so much greater access. Yeah, because there's so much greater access to everyone now. Like, Division III schools in Michigan can recruit Long Beach football players without coming to Long Beach. You know,
you can make an all happen. You can make an all-star team of Long Beach boys soccer players who went to play in Montana.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Seriously. And so that to me, what I celebrate is anyone, like you said, anyone who's getting an education, the life-altering experience of that free education for playing sports, you know, for doing something that's fun, you want to be able to celebrate them. So we're looking forward to celebrating the Milliken and Polly kids. They did do ceremonies today. You can find that coverage at the 562. And then obviously we'll catch Wilson and Lakewood and everyone else that does theirs at the end of the year as well. We're excited for that.
If you know somebody who signed today that we didn't mention from Polly or Milliken or something, send it to us.
Yeah, just
if you have somebody who commits or something like that, tag us on Twitter, send us an email. We want to give everybody their shine on and off the field on season and off season as well.
Exactly.
We move on to our quote of the week, and that comes from Long Beach State men's basketball coach Dan Munson. A forgettable.
I don't believe this quote, JJ.
Second half. Again, there's video evidence of this quote.
You better read this quote to the people. I was furious when I saw this.
Bad second half against UC Santa Barbara. I mean, deplorable second half, really. It was like embarrassing, kind of. And after the loss, Dan Munson walks into the press conference, and the first thing he says was, quote, I apologize. We're a fragile team right now. We broke for the first time this year in the second half. And I, as a coach, have to take responsibility for that. We panicked and quit defending. End quote. It's what you want to hear, but it's also not what you want to hear. Like, you want your coach to take responsibility, right? You want your coach leading from the front. You also don't want your coach in a position where he's saying, I may have lost it.
I don't think there's anything leadery about that quote to me. And it really bothers. Yeah.
You would rather him come in and say, we suck.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Well, I would just rather not see. I mean, first of all, I'd rather them not be in last place in the conference.
Right. That goes without saying. We'd rather not this be the quote of the week.
But the quote to me is so defeated. It's not, this is what we're going to do better, or like whatever else. But like to say that your team, first of all, I don't think it's, I do think it's pointing the finger to say that we broke. You know, I mean.
The use of the word fragile. Yes,
and to call your kids fragile.
Yeah.
And to open it with an apology, I don't know. Something about this, it really, you sent it to us, and it really sat wrong with me. Everything everything about it sat wrong with me. And I think it's indicative of a larger sort of a stagnation in that program.
There's no energy in that program right now. I've spent a lot of time. With that program. And I think we've said this on the show before. This whole thing would be a lot easier if we didn't like Dan Munson. If Dan Munson was a jerk, it would be so much easier. Like, the guy gets kids out, the guy gets kids to graduate. He's a good disciplinarian. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of positives in this program as well.
I like
winning
Dan
basketball
as a person
games hasn't been that
yes.
recently.
Well, how many years in a row have you written the story? There's more new players than expected this year.
Yep.
But there's talent. And then, the team can't play defense. They don't finish that well in the Big West.
And
someone was suspended. Someone quit the team. Someone was suspended.
Averaging over one suspension per year, Dan Munson and his program since that experiment gone wrong with King and Lamb and those guys.
Right. The whole thing, it's just time for there to be a different story. I mean, I've just read this too many times.
It's
sad.
That's
like genuinely everything about it was sad. The crowd is sad. The people I know who love Long Beach State basketball, I mean, just guys our own age who are just basketball fans, who they don't even have the energy around the program to be mad about it, JJ.
Let's play some devil's advocate.
They're just like bummed.
They got 11 new guys. They're a brand new basketball team who plays an exciting brand of basketball. They're like top 50 in tempo in the nation, right? So they're moving the ball a little bit. They're brand new. They don't have that chemistry. You can see that late in games. Like Dan said, like they kind of lost it there at late because they don't know how to get through those tough moments with 10 minutes left in a game when it's tight. You know what I mean? Because they just haven't been there.
Yeah.
Sophomore transfers, first-year starters, kids who maybe should be in junior college for one more year, but they're on this team now. Like those things, you look at them and you're like, they can only get better. You know what I mean? Chance Hunter can score the basketball. Michael Carter III can change a game with his talent. But then you look at it on the floor and you're like, oh my gosh, this is really bad.
Again.
This doesn't look like college basketball because college basketball is supposed to be fun, energetic, exciting, can't wait for the next play. There is nothing about the Long Beach State offense right now that has anybody waiting with bated breath for the next play. Like the ball stops more in the Long Beach State men's basketball offense than counting votes in Iowa.
Let me put it like this. You covered the doubleheader, the men's basketball and men's volleyball, right?
On Saturday in the mid, yeah. Which they should do more often, by the way. That's so much fun. Continue.
Could you ever in a million years have imagined the difference in energy crowd and student section between a men's basketball game and a men's volleyball match?
No.
Who was the matinee in that?
Yeah, great point.
You know, and
it was the defending two-time national champions.
Well, let me say this. Like, for men's volleyball, yeah, it's a special men's volleyball program. They won two national championships. There should be a ton of energy in a student section for that.
Truth.
But I'm a volleyball fan, and let me say this. They should never outdraw the men's basketball team at Long Beach State, the men's volleyball team, the way that they are right now.
Or at least be even.
Because I know as a sports writer that there are literally, and this is, I don't even think this should be the way it is, but it is the way it is. There's 1,000 times more basketball fans in Long Beach than there are volleyball fans.
Yes.
At least. And so it should never be the case that the students are like, oh, I can't wait to go to this men's volleyball match against UCLA tonight. Oh, there's a basketball game at 4:30. I'll get there at 7, and I don't want to catch the end of the men's
right.
basketball game. I mean, it's just not right, and
it's just
sad.
Not right. Yes. Okay. Now, we've talked about this before on the show. The fact that Andy Fee decided to re-up Dan Munson's contract, was it 2 years ago, last year, in an effort to kind of calm the waters in a very choppy time where everybody wanted Dan out, and they were like, okay, let's move on to the next thing.
Something happened, JJ.
At the same time, this is what I think happened. I think Andy Fee went with the easy choice, the safe choice. Let's say that, okay? Actually, I talked to Andy Fee about this on the LB Fee Show this week, so make sure you check that out. It's at the562.org right now. His response to Dan's comment about apologizing and, you know, quitting defending in the second half, his response to that was very interesting. So make sure you listen to that show. But I think he went with the safe decision where he's like, Dan runs a clean program. He graduates kids. They're not a problem. I've got other problems. I've got baseball coaches punching people.
Right.
I've got to deal with that stuff. Dan can be one that I don't need to worry
the
about.
Things that
Do you know
just,
what I mean?
The things that you just said to me were counted as positives when that decision was announced. And I agree that they are positive things, but when it comes to hiring a basketball coach, those should be starting places, not, you know what I mean? Like, you want, of course, anyone that you're going to hire is going to graduate people and not be committing felonies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but that's not a, we would never hire a sports writer for that.
But
you know what I mean?
Also, maybe a thing like, listen, he is what, it's like that scene at the end of Fight Club where Tyler Durden says to Marlo, like, you've met me at a very strange time in my life. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
And, that's kind of how Andy Fee found Long Beach State, right? They were in the midst of the biggest kerfuffle of a mascot change we've ever seen because yeah. we still can't figure it out.
Right.
You also come in the midst of Brian Gemolaro, maybe the most successful coach
you've
on campus.
You got to transition your women's
leaving.
Your women's volleyball, your women's basketball coaches, and you got to stay out of men's volleyball's way.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then you're going to have to replace your Dirtbags coach.
Yeah, and then you have to replace the Dirtbags coach, probably the most famous program on campus. So he's looking at it like, if I also replace the winningest men's basketball coach in school history, then he's got everything on his plate. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're all, quote unquote, his guys.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So maybe there was a little bit gun shyness there where it's like, I don't need to replace everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Like, this guy might not be winning Big West championships, but he also isn't the worst. I think that there is a way for Dan Munson to save his job and get people back on board with a incredible turnaround that nobody could ever predict at Honda Center in March. 3 straight wins, get to the tournament. There's no way they let him go if he makes the NCAA tournament. But that would also be one of the biggest turnarounds you and I maybe have ever seen.
Well, that's a perfect segue to our list of the week, the biggest turnarounds that we've ever seen. Let's talk about that because we have seen some crazy ones. I don't personally see that in the cards. You know, for these three that you've got on the list, which I think I basically just agree with your list, you could see where you know what I mean? You could see what would have caused a turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Well, we have to kick it off with a team that we reference a lot on this show and just kind of in the traffic because no one's ever seen anything like this. 2012, Long Beach Poly football, the team that had Juju Smith-Schuster, Jayon Brown, Iman Marshall on it. So talented. But they started horribly.
1-3.
Record horribly, like school record bad.
1-3 with a 56-0 loss to Narbonne, which was the second worst defeat in school history, and at that point was the worst in school history since a 62-0 loss to San Diego High in 1916.
Unbelievable. Only to be outdone by some of the greatest coaching adjustments you and I have ever seen in any sport ever. The Long Beach Poly coaching staff adjusting the Jackrabbits running attack every time they played a new team in the CIF Pac-5 playoffs, and everybody just being befuddled by different versions of the Wildcat, jumbo packages, spread packages, isolating Juju on the outside, like all the things that you would think would be the perfect way to take advantage of that talent. Now that we know what we know, they were doing that against Mission Viejo, against Bosco, against Mater Dei, weeks after getting run off the field at Narbonne. For me, it's one with a bullet, craziest turnaround we've ever seen.
I like that season turnaround. The one I'm going to bring up right now was an in-match turnaround, which was the Long Beach State men's volleyball team we were just talking about. It was down 19-16 in the fourth set, facing elimination in the national championship game against UCLA on the road at the Poly Pavilion. They came back and won the fourth set. I think as soon as they did that, we all knew they were going to win the fifth set, which
kind
they
of.
Did. And that's how they won that national championship. But 19-16 in the fourth set down 2-1, you've got like one fingernail left on the edge of the cliff at that point.
You were on press row. I was at the baseline in front of the Long Beach State student section. It goes 19-16. And we've talked about this since. But at the time, you and I were both writing the video and the article thinking, okay, how are we going to spit shine this one? Yeah. Because we've written this article so many times for Long Beach State teams. Incredible season, expected to hang right there at the end, fall short.
Didn't happen.
We've done that a lot, dude.
TJ DeFalco and Josh Tuoniga, yeah, we know, we're supposed to come in and win two or three national championships. Now they're going to be seniors and they're trying to win one. You know what I mean?
They go on the 4-0 run, yeah, capped by the Tuoniga ace that I got. Maybe one of my favorite shots ever was the ace where he aces it and then turns around and looks at the Long Beach State student section.
Oh, it was great.
The way you would want anybody to look at you. The intensity, the love that he was showing in that moment was... That's legendary stuff right there from Josh. And then, yeah, then they go on to win it. And we were in shock for like hours after that match.
Speaking of legendary, the other one you had down on the list, I thought is recent, but definitely legendary.
Yes, it is the 2019 Cabrillo Boys soccer team. They were very good all year long. Arnold Giron setting the school record as a sophomore for goals scored. He's very good now with LAFC Developmental Academy.
Made the U-17 national team.
They had incredible run through the CIF Southern Section playoffs. He scored a hat trick in the semifinal at Riverside Poly. Such an amazing scene there. Cabrillo brought a bus of students out there to Riverside, and they just turned that place into the West Side. It was incredible. And then they come back, play Arlington in the championship at Warren. Amazing turnout for Long Beach. That whole visitor side was absolutely packed with not just Cabrillo supporters, but like supporters of Long Beach and supporters of Long Beach soccer. It felt like a community event, and they lose in the most heartbreaking way possible. 1-0 after outshooting Arlington on a crap goal. And that's the way Cabrillo soccer has been.
But then what happened?
Then they turned it all around, dude. They could have packed it up and gone home, just like we've seen so many teams do in the state playoffs after a tough, emotionally draining run through the CIF Southern Section. And they did not do that. They came back and played loose, joyful, beautiful game soccer, and then had the most dominant run through the SoCal, Southern California.
Just call them the state playoffs.
State playoffs.
I hate the whole regional thing.
Bro, nobody has outscored their opponents by more than Cabrillo did in Division II state playoffs last year. And that's just such an amazing turnaround to go from, oh, woe was us, lost another 1-0, this game is so unfair. They didn't hang their heads, dude. They held their head high, and they went home to the West Side and won all of those games in front of their own fans. It was a special moment for the city, let alone a group of players, but like the group of players picked the city up when it looked like there was, you know, no hope.
Yeah. No, awesome. One of our favorite memories ever. Do we want to talk Lakers-Clippers briefly, or are we doing our recommendations and getting out of here?
We can talk Lakers-Clippers briefly. Lakers 38-11.
Lakers are winning the championship.
I'm here for it. I just wanted to shout out the fact that, yes, this is what we thought would happen, but Anthony Davis averaging over 26 points a game and LeBron averaging almost 11 assists a game is like video game numbers. We just need to take a moment and realize, like, the stats that these guys are about to put up.
I'm watching every game I can.
Bron's going to lead
They're
the NBA
so
in assists?
Right
in yeah. assists?
By a lot.
That is, man, talk about adding to your legacy. Unbelievable. And then we also have to shout out last night. He put on an absolute three-point shooting clinic in
yeah,
that game against the Spurs.
I was bummed out I missed the wrong half of that game. I watched the first half and then fell
It
asleep,
reminded but. Me of that Eastern Conference Championship game at Detroit. I think we were watching it together with Dunning and
when we all graduated college.
He was just coming up and he went crazy in that game at Detroit. He made like four threes in the fourth quarter or something, and we all looked at each other and went, okay,
that's the guy,
he's arrived. So yeah, it was like a throwback. It's so much fun to watch those guys play together in the purple and gold, man. And I know it's been emotional for Laker fans this month and obviously the last few weeks, but
watching them play like that is what I needed.
Can I also say, and I think we talked about this in our group chat with some of our friends, the Lakers franchise is the classiest damn franchise in the history of sports, bro.
The way they
just
the
know
last
how
week
to
and
do
a half
things
has been crazy. Yeah,
they just know how to do things. Cancel game, brought in grief counselors, take care of their business partners like their family, and then you have that on Friday night. Like that memorial on Friday night before the game was perfect. It was perfect.
Yep.
And there's only so many organizations and people like the people who are with the Lakers who can pull something like that off.
No, it was it's been very emotional, but everything they've done has been amazing, and I hope that we can end this season the way that it needs to end.
Amen. You know? So we've got our recommendations, non-sports related, here for you every week at What Up Long Beach. Mike, what is your recommendation for the week?
A couple weeks ago, I recommended a book, a good like intro personal finance book for any of our listeners, especially the younger people, maybe people like me who came from houses low on financial literacy. I'm going to recommend another one called The Only Investment Guide You'll Ever Need by Andrew Tobias. It's a funny book, but it will teach you, if you're like me and you know that people make money in the stock market, but you've always been like, I'm not one of those people, and you're interested in learning some basics about that stuff, it's a good, if I were teaching that class to 12th graders, that's the book that I would be using. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, cool. My recommendation is...
just like fall asleep while I'm recommending these books.
my recommendation is go see 1917.
On the biggest screen possible or what?
Sam Mendes. I don't think you need the IMAX. It would probably be nice, but the immersion into that movie is like, you can't really help it. Like, you're in it. You know what I mean? It's, forget an award. Forget best picture, best director, whatever. This is like a cinematic achievement. Like, we're going to be talking about what he was able to do in this movie, the director Sam Mendes. We're going to be talking about what he was able to do in it like 25 years from now. Other movies are going to be compared to it in the way that like other movies CGI was compared to Forrest Gump for a while.
Yeah.
Like, how were they able to do that? Oh my gosh. We're going to be talking about 1917 for a really long time. So I don't really care who wins the Academy Award, because to me, it's beyond the best movie of the year. It might be the best movie, like one of the best movies made ever.
All right.
So go see it.
I still haven't seen it. And everyone we know who've seen it says basically exactly what you just said.
The fastest two hours and 10 minutes of my life. I felt like we were in there for 15 minutes and it was over. And I was like, oh my God, what time is it? Yep. 2+.
All right. Okay. Got to make time for it.
All right. We got to make time for more Long Beach sports coverage. We got to get out of here. So thank you to the Long Beach Post for having us here. Obviously visit the 562.org for all of your Long Beach sports coverage. For Mike, for JJ, for everybody who helps out, get everything up at those two websites. We will definitely see you in the stands this weekend, Long Beach. Take care.